Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now beginning our study of the seventh parak of Masechet Bav Metzia, Hasocher Et HaPoalim. We are on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph near the bottom. Hasocher Et HaPoalim. Just one heads up is that over the course of the next few podcasts, we will be encountering some very significant and lengthy agadot. So the tenor of our study will shift a little bit for the next few days. Hasocher Et HaPoalim v'amar lahem lahashkim ulahariv. If somebody hired workers and told them to come extra early or to stay extra late. Important to understand that in the ancient world, early meant any time before sunrise, and late meant any time after nightfall. We'll see that a little bit later on. So, makom shenagu shelo lahashkim shelo lahariv, if the local custom of hiring is that people are working, is that people do not work before sunrise or stay after nightfall, then in over shayl chufan, he cannot force them to do differently than the local custom. Makom shenagu lazun yizon. If the local custom is to feed the workers, you have to feed them. Sapek bimtika, literally to give them sweets, but what it means, Rashi points out, is to give them stuff to go along with, let's say their bread, then yisapek, you have to give that. Hakol k'minhag hamedina. Here is with a famous passage in the Yerushalmi that says, minhag oker halacha, which certainly should not be taken out of context and misunderstood. Now we hear a story that we had heard earlier on in the Masechet. Masebra b'yochan ben Matya. Shamar livnot say schor aleinu poalim. So he told his son to go get workers. Halachu pasak lemezonot. He went and got workers and said, "We'll feed you." Shabai tzal aviv amar lo bni afilim matao selam kisudat shlomo b'sha'ato leyatzati dechovatcha imahen. So when they came back, started to work, or were ready to work, Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya told his son, even if you gave them the fanciest meal in the world, you still will have not fulfilled your obligation. Why? Shein bnei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. These are children of royalty. So what's the solution? Because I'm not going to give them a fancy feast and still owe them more. Before they start working, you have to go out and clarify to them that all we're going to give them is bread and beans or whatever the meal that we're going to give them. Make it explicit. And Moshe Ben Gamliel disagrees with this. You didn't have to say that. Why? Everything follows the local custom. If the local custom is beans and bread or whatever it may be, then that's all they are able to ask for. Okay, the Gemara immediately says pshita. In other words, it's obvious that if you hired them and the local custom is not to work beyond nightfall or before sunrise, you can't force them. So the tafalu agrayu. We could be talking about a case where he paid them extra. This goes back to the discussions that we had toward in the middle and the end of the previous parak. We might think that he could say, "I paid you extra to the maximum chashkitu v'hadoi," on the assumption that you were going to come and work extra hours, start earlier and stay later. So the answer is they could answer to him, "Hi, the tafel line, you paid us extra. That we would do better quality work, but not beyond the local hours, unless, of course, you stipulate explicitly, and they agree to it." Now, Amar Reish Lakish, Poel b'chnisato mishalo b'tziyato mishal bal habayit. Reish Lakish has this sort of little phrase, which is that a Poel on his way in has to give up of his own, and on his way out gives up of the hirer. What that means is on his way into the city after working gives up a little bit of his own, meaning he should stay a little late. But on his way out to work, the balabayit has to suffer, meaning that he should come out at sunrise and no earlier. How do we know that? Shinemar in Tilim Kuftalad, Tizrach Hashemesh Yasefun Ve'al Mo'onotam Yir Batsun, when the sun comes out, all the night creatures go back to their place, and Yetzadam Fa'alov Val Avurato Adi Arev. Then man goes out to his work. So man goes out to his work after sunrise. So why are we saying this? Why don't we just see what the local custom is? And whatever the local custom is, that's it. The answer is Bi'ir Chadasha. Let's say it's a new city and they haven't yet set up a custom. So why don't we see where everybody came from and go by their older customs? Which, by the way, may have really far-reaching implications for issues of establishing minhag. The answer is Benikutoi. We're talking about a case where people came from all sorts of different towns. So there's no specific minhag set up yet. That's one way to look at it. Ibai Tema. Another way is to say we're talking about a regular town that has its own minhag. Damar lehu da agritu li kepol doraita. That the hirer hires workers and says, I'm hiring you as a pol doraita. So Rish Lakish says, what's the Torah's vision of a poel? Somebody who goes out at sunrise and not earlier, but who stays a little bit later. Now, we have a drasha on this pasuk and the following, and the earlier pasuk. You place darkness, and darkness, it becomes night, and that's when all of the field, the animals of the field crawl around. And then the next pasuk is when the sun comes up, they go back in, and then man goes out to work. What's this, homiletically? Tashet choshech v'layla, ze olam hazeh, the darkness, that's this world. Shadom v'layla. Boter mos kochay tiyar, because all the animals crawl around. Eil rishayim shabo, that's the rishayim in this world. Shadom v'layash v'yar, they're like wild animals. What happens? When the sun comes up, they're all gathered in, meaning the sun comes out, meaning the world to come. It shines for the tzaddikim. Meaning the rishayim legehinom. These wild animals then get taken, yasefun here, in the sense of nesaftal amecha, meaning to be gathered to your people. They die, and they go to Gehenim. And they go and stay in their place. This is now a shift in the chakol tzaddik v'tzaddik she'in lo mador l'fik kvodo. That every tzaddik has his own place, his own living space in the olam haba that's appropriate to his own kavod. Yitzei adam lefa'alo, who is this for? Yitzu tzaddikim lekavel scharan, the tzaddikim should come out and get the reward v'la'avorato ade arev. What does that mean? Whoever completed his work before nightfall, meaning whoever completed his work in this world, in his life, will come out and get his reward. A beautiful homily. Now, we hear a story about the issue of work, about Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. We'll hear a parallel short story about Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, who were colleagues. They were in the generation before Rabbi. And this Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, of course, is the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That will play a little role in the later story we hear about the two of them together. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Ashkach Lahu Parhagvan, Haparhagvana, it's a Persian word which means an officer, like a policeman, to cut off his gun. He was catching thieves. Amar Lehechi Yachal Bahu. So he went up to the policeman said, or the detective, whatever it is, he said, how are you able to catch them? Lav kachayut matili, aren't they compared to wild animals? Quoting the pasuk, tibot tumas kochay diyar. Perhaps he said from another pasuk in Tehilim, Yerov b'mistar kar yeh b'suko. The evil one hides lays an ambush in a hiding place like a lion. Dilma shaklat tzaddik yirshavkar rishi. Maybe by accident you'll catch the wrong person, you catch innocent people. So the policeman said, what should I do? Harmana de Malko, it's an order of the king. I have to catch these guys. So Amar to agmerechei chetavit. So this rabbi told this Roman officer, I'll tell you how to do it. Ul ba'arba shari l'chanuta. Go at 4 hours, meaning 4 hours in the morning, mid-morning, to the store. Kichazit inish tekashati chamer v'kanakit kosa v'yadei. If you see somebody drinking wine, and he has a cup in his hand, become a namnem, and he's sleeping, or he's nodding off, meaning this is somebody who's been up at night. Because otherwise the person would be eating quickly and going back to work. Sho'oli lavei, ask about him. Eat rabbanan hu, if the guy is a talmid chacham or a student, v'nayim, and he's napping, akdumi kadem legirsei, probably got up very early to learn, and by now he's already tired. E po'el hu, if he's a legitimate worker, kadem ka'avid avitim, maybe he got up extra early and was working, and now he's very tired. V'avite belayla, it's even possible that it's a worker who works at night, and we didn't hear him because Redude Radid. Maybe he's working at home making knots or ropes or something. But Ve'ilo, but if you don't know that this fellow is either a scholar or student or a worker, Ganavahu, assume he's a Ganav, Vatafse, and you catch him. How do you know he's a Ganav? Because he's been up all night. Why he's been up all night? Because, like we saw in the Pasuk, they're wild animals who are roaming at night to steal. So Yishtama Milta Be'malka, so the royal local governor evidently heard about this. Amru, and they said the famous aphorism, Karyana de Igrata Yulihave Parvnakna, the one who reads the order of the king or the letter of the king, he's the one who should execute it. Meaning, you've got such good advice, you'll be in charge. Atul Rab Lozer Rab Shimon, so they brought him, cut off his gun v'azil, he was catching ganavim, he was able to identify them. Shalcha Rishoban Korcha, so one of the Tanarim, Rishoban Korcha, sent a message to him, Chometz ben Yain, he called him Vinegar the son of wine, meaning your father was a great man, Rishon Bar Yochai, and by the way, your father was not supportive and not friendly to the establishment, In the meantime, you've gone sour. How long are you going to hand over God's people to be killed? Because what happens is you're identifying the thieves, including Jewish thieves, and you're handing them over to the Romans. So Shalachle, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's answer was, I'm getting the thorns out of the vineyard. These are bad people. Luckily, the Romans are getting rid of them for us. So Shalachle, Rabbi Shimon Korcha's answer was, let the owner of the vineyard come and take care of his own thorns. In other words, if God wants to take them, let God take them. It's not your job. So in other words, there was tension within the rabbinic community about Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon assuming this new position. Yomachad, Pagabeahu Koves. One day, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon met a particular launder. This is after the story of Rabbi Shimon Korcha. Karye Chometz Ben Yain. And so evidently the word had gone out that Rabbi Shimon Korcha called Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon vinegar, the son of wine. And this launderer called him. Amar b'nechatziv kulei hais. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, this guy so chatzuf, so nervy, so brazen. Shvamina Rishiyahu, he must be a Rasha. Amarlo Tafsui told the policeman, catch him. Tafsu, they caught him, and they jailed him, and they sentenced him to die, as you'll see. Bata denachdate, but Rabbi Shimon realized it was his own anger that had that because of this fellow's response. So Azavatre the Fruke Velomatsi, he went and tried to see if he could find some way to get this guy out of his dire straits, because he realized he had taken it out on this fellow. You don't deserve to die because you call a rabbi a bad name. So Kari Ale, he said about this situation, Shomer Pivul Shono, Shomer Mitzarot Nafsho. If somebody can watch his mouth, he'll guard himself from evil. That, by the way, can play both ways. That could mean, had this guy not opened his mouth and made fun of me, he wouldn't have been in trouble. Or, had I not opened my mouth and responded the way I did, then he wouldn't be in trouble. Either way, Zakfuhu, they took this launderer at Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's decree, and they strung him up. Kam tute zekifa v'kabachi. So Rabbi Shimon stood under the dead corpse and was hanging there, and he was weeping. Amrule, they came up to him and said, Rabbi, al yer Rabbi Nacha, don't feel bad about this guy. Shehu uvno ba'alu na'ara umurasav yom ha-kippurim. This is like the granddaddy of all, pile all the chatoim on. He and his son together went and raped a betrothed maiden on Yom Kippur. So he niach yado al b'nei me'av. Then Rabbi Shimon felt better. He realized he had killed a guy who was a terrible guy. And he put his hands on his stomach, meaning on his guts. Amar sisu b'nei me'ai sisu. You should rejoice. Why? Well, meaning he was rejoicing over the fact that he had the proper chush and he was able to identify, sort of sniff out the wicked. Umas fekot shalachem kach. If in cases where you're in doubt, nonetheless you were so right. When you're sure about something, how much more so that you're really right? And he says, and now I'm sure that as the tradition goes about tzaddikim, worms will never affect this body. In other words, even after I'm dead, the body will stay pristine. Nonetheless, he still felt terrible that this guy had died, and had died, really, although he had done terrible things, that it wasn't what we call due process. So what happened? He ordered that an operation be done on himself. Ashkiu samad sheinata, they gave him a sleeping potion. Vailu leveta sheisha, and they put him in a marble house. That's what they used to use for operations, or as we saw in several places with bloodletting, etc. Vikaru lukrise, and they opened up his stomach. Vamafku mine dikule dikule detarva, they were taking out strips of fat from him. Umotu vishimsha batamuz uva'av, they put it in the hottest sun of the summer. Velomasarchi, and the fat didn't smell bad. The idea was that he was sort of proving to himself that he really was a pristine person. Kol tarba nami lo sriach, what a fat generally doesn't smell. The answer is kol tarba lo sriach, shuraiki sumki mesriach. You're right, the fat part doesn't smell, but the part where there's veins and blood, that smells. Ha chafagav di'ita shuraiki sumki, even here, the red parts, lo masriach, weren't smelling. So karyan afshehi then, obviously when he was woken up and healed, he said, he quoted the pasuk about himself, Af b'sari yishkon levetach, my flesh rests comfortably. In other words, I know I'm a good guy. So that's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. I mentioned that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, a colleague of his, had a similar thing happen. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Mata ki hai masali adei, had a similar thing happen. The Gemara doesn't tell us, because a similar thing where he advised somebody how to catch ganavim, he himself became the head detective. Pagav Eliyahu, and now Eliyahu Anavi bumped into him. Amrolei Admatai Tomoser Molochelo Hinilahi Gai. He said the same thing Rabbi Shimon Korcha said, but now it's Eliyahu. How long are you going to hand over God's people to be killed? So Marley Maya Avid. So he, unlike all those Rabbi Shimon, didn't have a response. He said, what should I do? I'm stuck. I'm ordered by the king. So Malavucha Arak LaAsia, your father ran away to Asia. Asia is a district evidently in western Turkey. At Aruk LaLudkia, you run to Ludkia, which is probably a town somewhere near Antioch on the Lebanese coast. In other words, run away, get away from the kings, but you can't continue doing what you're doing. So now we hear a story, as I mentioned, about the two of them. If the two of them met and faced each other, they were evidently so fat that this may be an exaggeration, said a team of oxen could have gone under them because their stomachs were so big that they could have gone under them. And it wouldn't have even touched them. That's how big they were, that they'd have to stand so far away from each other to face each other that a team of oxen could go underneath their stomachs and not touch them. So Amrlu Ahi Matronita, so some wealthy non-Jewish woman, a matron, said, Bnechem Enam Shalachem, your sons are not yours. Because her idea was, there's no way in the world you could ever have relations with your wife. Amrula Shalahen Gadol Mishalanu. They said, our wives are bigger than we are. So she said, Kol Shekain. She said, how much more so? So it's impossible for you to have relations. So he could Amri Achi Amrula. Possibly they answered her as follows, Ki Ka'ish Kivurato. Meaning, this is the Pasuk, that Zevach and Salmunah say to Gid'on, when Gid'on asked Yeter, his eldest son, to kill these two enemy kings, and he was afraid, they said, you kill us, because Ka'ish Kivurato literally means, the more somebody is a man, the more he's going to demonstrate valor. But in this case, what they meant was, what it was that all of our body parts are, shall we say, apportioned in proportion. And therefore, we have other parts that are also larger. Or they said something else, which is that our great love and lust makes it possible to get beyond these physical limitations. Now, why were they answering at all? You think they're supposed to answer a fool when he says a foolish thing? Look at the end of the pasuk on the page. You'll end up being like him. The answer is because if they didn't answer, she would start walking around saying their mom's harem, and then their kids would be in terrible straits. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan then gave testimony and said, Ibrei de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi kechemet batesha kabin. This may mean his arm, or may mean his stomach, and some people say that it even means his appetite. Whatever it may mean, Tosfot says something here, who says, they mention this in order so you shouldn't make fun of people who have these large body parts. But Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's aver, whatever that may mean, was like a 9-kav satchel. Rabbi Papa now comes to Rabbi Yochanan. This goes in a stepladder way. Rabbi Yochanan kachemet bat chameshet kabin, ralak bat shloshet kabin. So it's smaller. Rabbi Papa gufei ki dekuri dehar panoi. Rabbi Papa himself had one that was the size of like a basket from Har Panoi, from a particular town. They may be speaking about stomachs here because we heard that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was himself very large. Then we know that Rabbi Yochanan was, the famous thing about Rabbi Yochanan Masachet Brachot, not being able to roll over in bed to say Shema, because he was very large. And we know that Papa also was very large, several mentions in the Gemara. So it could be they're referring to their body size or their stomach or whatever. In any case, we'll stop here because we're going to pick up with a very famous Agadah, the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and how they met and how they became related and how they became teacher and student. And of course, all the way to the tragic end of that story. But we'll leave that for the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.